strange title, Born to Dream. Well, you know, little girls, they dream of being dancers and ballerinas and marrying a prince and, you know, becoming a princess and having children of their own. They're dreamers, you know. They dream about kissing a frog and having it turn into a prince. But, you know, that suddenly happens. They, once a frog, always a frog. Stays a frog the whole way through, you know. So be careful of kissing a frog and thinking it can change. But the little girls, unfortunately, the dreams that they have are sometimes killed by the ugliness of abuse and rejection by someone that they have given their hearts to. And what was supposed to be a happy ever after fairy story actually turns into a life of pain and disappointment and even divorce. And so what was supposed to be a loving, supporting family is now replaced by sadness and loneliness and struggles just to survive. And, you know, single parenting is not easy. It doesn't matter if you're man or woman. It doesn't make any difference. But it is definitely harder for ladies as to be a single mom than it is for guys, you know. And oftentimes what happens is there's something in a woman that she will stay with her children, protect her children with her life, and get three jobs if necessary. And sometimes the dad will go off. And that's just the way, you know, it happens sometimes. But the lady will stay and take care of her children, and she'll give her life for her children if necessary. So, you know, what God intended to be a place for us to thrive from, Satan actually attacks. And the reason he attacks the family so much is because he hates anything to do with love. Anything to do with love, he wants to tear it apart. He cannot stand people being loved. And that's, you know, Jesus told us to love one another, and that's one of the signs of being a disciple. And, you know, that's the thing you hear often about a church. Well, there's just no love in the church. Well, I can tell you where that originated from. That thought came from the devil. Yeah. That thought, because most churches there is love. You just, you know, sometimes you've got to give love to receive love. But the place of peace and protection, and the place of prosperity and fulfilled dreams, unfortunately becomes a prison of pain. If we don't get the right guidance and instruction in marriage and premarital training and that kind of stuff, you can end up on a very rough ride. And so we obviously encourage all of our young people to go through premarital training with the Kellys. And it continues, you know, after they even get married, because we understand that marriage is something that should be cherished and should be valued. And to dishonor marriage is a brutal and ugly thing. In today's world, in the culture we live in, unfortunately, mothers are not really honored like they should be. You don't get your face in the front of a magazine because you're a mother, you know. You don't get the big bonus check at the end of the year because the family made a profit. You know, you're not guaranteed an increase next year because you're now 20 years or 15 years being a mother. Now you get promoted by getting increased. That doesn't happen. And you're not highly esteemed, even though you have the fate of the world in your hands. So this morning we want to take a few minutes and we want to honor mothers. To read from Proverbs chapter 15. Solomon said, "A foolish person hates his mother." In Ephesians 5 and verse 2, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Now the CEV version says, "And you will have a long and happy life." So this is a command of God that has with it a blessing of long life and happiness. And I think sometimes that people are struggling in life because they're disobeying that very thing. Because it's a promise. If you would honor your mom and your dad, then you're going to have long life and be happy. Mothers dream. Not only do they dream when they're little girls, but once they have children, they change their dreams, and their dreams now become for their children. They begin to dream that their child will grow up and influence the world, that they will grow up and be godly and God-fearing, and that they in turn will be happily married and have children. It's an amazing thing that a child begins, women, girls, begin by dreaming for their own marriage and their children, and then as they get older, they begin to dream for children again, but this time it's grandchildren. So that is a mother's dream. I'm going to tell you a story. A mother died while giving birth to her son, and she prayed this prayer as she was dying, that God would make him a preacher. Now, the husband never told young Cyrus what mom had prayed, but throughout his life, growing up, he read the Bible to the son. When the son finally decided to make Jesus Lord and then ultimately respond to the call to ministry, he finally told young Cyrus, who was then Dr. Cyrus Schofield, what his mother had prayed over him. If you don't know who Schofield is, he was the one who produced one of the first reference Bibles known as the Schofield Reference Bible. And he was the first one to reference all scripture by having notes on the side in the same page, in the same as it went along. He also had cross-referenced so that you could follow through a change reference system through the Bible thoughts that he had put into it. It was an extremely, extremely a difficult thing that he had done. And he produced this back in 1917. By the time of the end of the Second World War, he had already sold. They had sold 2 million copies of the Schofield Bible. And just to let you know how important his work was, he was a dispensationalist. Now, if you haven't been to Bible school, you probably wouldn't understand that term. But he was the first person to introduce the idea that there were seven dispensations in the Bible, which we teach in Bible school. And guaranteed, if you have not been to our Bible college, you haven't heard anybody teach on it. Okay? So we pride ourselves in the fact that we go all the way back over 100 years to this truth. Not only was dispensationalism something that he taught, but his notes on the book of Revelations is the foundation for our eschatology, which is the study of the end times. And people that you know today in today's world that are famous, like Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye, actually use his notes to teach on the end times. So that is how influential he was, and it's because a mother prayed for him, for the child. So don't ever underestimate the power of your prayer of your children. But you know, children who have been prayed for like that and have been loved that way will always look back at their moms. I'm going to quote some amazing people to you, what they said about their mom, famous people. John Quincy Adams said this about his mother: "All that I am, my mother made me." Abraham Lincoln said this: "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." And then Charles Spurgeon, who is a great evangelist, if you don't know who he is, great evangelist, and he said this: "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn words and prayers of my good mother." Thomas Edison, we all know that, who he is. He said this: "I did not have my mother for long. She died when he was young. But she so influenced me that it has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I would never have become the inventor I became. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of a different caliber, I would have turned out badly. But her firmness and goodness were powerful, keeping me on the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing." You have no idea the impact that you have, moms, when you encourage your children. Every Monday morning, when I first started ministry, my mother would call me and ask me how our Sunday went. Every Monday. I want to talk about three ways that we can honor moms. And there's many ways we can, but I'm just going to pick on three this morning. And I want to start by saying this. The Bible does not say, honor your mother if. Sila, which means think about that. If she was perfect, if she always kept the house clean, if she always had all the right answers, if she was available 24/7 as your taxi, If she attended all your football games, if she always washed your shirts and ironed them and had them ready for you to go, or she bonded with you on the camping trips, it says honor her, despite of those things. The Bible also does not say enjoy your mother. You know, correcting, instruction, and so on is not enjoyable. It's painful. But it has to take place. But that doesn't alter the fact that we're supposed to honor our parents, and we're supposed to certainly honor our moms, right? It's never fun to be corrected, and at that time, it's always painful. But if we don't learn through coming to that obedience, we need to learn, because if we don't, our life will never turn out the way it should have been. But if we learn through obedience and correction, we will end up making good decisions, right decisions. And at the end of the day, we will live a life of peace. Now, listen. The Bible doesn't say, listen carefully, the Bible does not say, live for your mother's approval. When it says, honor her, it says, doesn't say, live for your mother's approval. What am I saying? So often, children who do not get the affirmation from moms and dads will go through life and say things like, they never said they loved me. They never said that I was good. They never said this or that. And I could never reach their expectations or their standards. And so you live your whole life waiting for them to affirm you or to approve you. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says honor them anyway. Honor them anyway. So the first thing we want to talk about in a way we can honor our moms is respect her. Now, respect has many sides to it. The first thing we want to do is we want to respect her advice. Now, let me just say this right up front. Naturally, once you become an adult and your brain is fully formed, because we know teenagers, their brains are not fully formed. We know that, okay? But once you become an adult and your brain is fully formed, you can make your own decisions. I'm going to say this. You can make your own decisions, and you don't necessarily need parental approval. Listen to me. Jesus very clearly spoke about the difference between a child in the home and the parents. Okay, and I want to get into that because it's not part of my sermon. But I am saying this. You need always to respect her advice. You know why? She's going to give it anyway. And if you ignore her advice, it's to dishonor her. Let me tell you a true story. We hadn't been in America very long, and we used to love on Saturday morning go to In-N-Out Burger. Well, you know, we had to stop doing that because unfortunately what happened is the older I got, my metabolism changed. And even though I ate the burger, it didn't go away. It used to sit right here on the side. I could actually see it. We used to hang out together. We had burgers everywhere around here like this. And it just wouldn't go away. So we had to stop eating those things. Well, one Saturday morning, we were sitting there, and the table next to us was a father and child, about 9 years old, I think 9 or 10 years old, I'm guessing. He was reading a newspaper, and they had their food in front of them, they were eating, and the son was trying to communicate to the father, and he kept on asking him things, but he was reading the sports section of the paper, and he kept saying, He wasn't listening to his son. But this was supposed to be a son and dad moment, right? This was they out together to have a moment. They were not having a moment. The tables churned because when he'd finished reading his paper, the son had already finished eating, and now the son pulled out his games and was playing on the phone. And now the dad is talking to him. He's going, You know the song about the cats in the cradle? I saw it happening right in front of me. What you sow, you will reap. If you sow that into your child, you're going to reap that back from your child. So in this situation, it was dishonoring the child by simply ignoring the child. And this is the same thing when our parents, or particularly, now I'm talking about moms, you know, they try and communicate with you and you dishonor them. You disrespect them. You don't give any respect to them. You know, what I'm saying is, you know, Honestly, I've seen this a lot. In America, it's I was shocked when we first came to America because a mother would say something to the child, and the child would go, and walk away. You wouldn't have lived past 13 if you were in my home. If you did that to my wife, your mother, you wouldn't have lived past 13. You just wouldn't, you know. And if you did turn your back and do that, I can promise you now, you'd have hair missing behind the back of your neck. You'd have hair missing because I would have taken you by the hair, you know. And honestly, if you really enjoyed all your teeth, you wouldn't do that. You say, you can't be serious. It was that tough. I thought, Pastor, being in your house would be awesome. You never want to be a child in my home. Never, never want to be a child. I was a very strict father. Very, very strict father. You know, I mean, you know, and maybe I'll talk about dating. Maybe I'll leave that for another. There's another part of my sermon. I'll get to that, okay? Don't get ahead of myself. We're talking about respecting your mom, respecting her. We need to respect her advice. We also acknowledge and respect her strengths and her sacrifices. Her strengths and her sacrifices. Motherhood is not easy. All right, it's just not easy. And there's tremendous amount of sacrifice and pain involved in being a mother. And we need to acknowledge the effort that mothers go through in raising children. And, you know, I mean, if you think about this, when a woman falls pregnant, you know, her body goes through changes. I mean, physical changes that are sometimes very difficult to reverse. And so the more children they have, the greater the problem has, and it's, you know, things change. And, you know, you gotta wonder why God didn't have the men go through labor. If he did, I can promise you there'd be no running around. Men would not cheat. If they knew the pain they wouldn't be going through, that's it. That's it. They would never cheat on their wives. But also because, you know, they can't take the pain. They're babies. They're sissies. They go, oh, I'm so much a man. Try childbirth. Yeah, right. Try childbirth. Don't give me that. And, you know, I mean, I realize why God didn't have men give birth. Because he actually wanted to populate the world. And it wouldn't have happened. Man said, no. I read the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, if you are husbands, you should be thoughtful of your wife. Treat her with honor because she isn't as strong as you are. Well, you know, I'm wondering why the Bible calls women the kind of the weaker sex. Because, you know, really, men and women have different strengths. Different strengths. And maybe back then, women weren't as strong as men. But some are today. Some are today. They're strong. And don't want to mess with some of these ladies. They are strong, but they have different strengths. And, you know, we ought to honor women for their strengths. One of the strengths that they have is endurance, just to put up with their husbands. I mean, that's awesome that God gave them that much strength. Amen? Okay, so now the husbands are not laughing at this, but all the women are. How to split a congregation. They also have this great ability to endure pain. It's remarkable what they could go through. So I don't understand why the Bible says that they are the weaker sex. There's a story about a young child who's about 10 years old was snorkeling in a lake in Florida. Now, I've lived in Florida. You don't want to snorkel in a lake in Florida ever, ever. Because those alligators, they'll come up on you. Even on the golf course, I used to play in the golf and we'd see alligators right here. And I'm going like, I can't even hit this ball. This guy's looking at me. Well, this kid got taken by an 11-foot alligator and snapped his head. And the mother just said, forget you, big lizard. I'm going in. And this kid was being rolled by the... She went in and got that child out. Okay, his leg got broken in the process. But he was saved. He was saved. You know, it's like, don't mess with mama. You big old lizard, you let my boy go. Right? So don't be talking about, you know, women are weaker than guys. I'm sure all the guys were standing on the side saying, go, mama, go. Go, mama, go. That's what they were doing. Women have a lot of challenges because they need supernatural, God-given wisdom. Because, you see, they have to give advice and they have to encourage, and at the same time, they have to discipline. They have to know how to be tough and know when to be tender. They have to know when to say you can date and when to say you can't date. So now let me tell you the dating story I was going to tell you a little earlier, okay? I was very strict with Cindy. When guys came around to date her, I would take my camera out. I would take a picture of them holding their driver's license and take a picture of the driver's license up real close. And then I would tell them, I would just say, you know, I mean, this went on. I mean, Cindy, how old were you about then? 16. I let you date when you were 16? My bad. Just when I thought I was getting good at this. But anyway. Yeah, he never came back. But that's okay. That's okay. I told him. I said, listen, I want to let you know we're from Africa. Okay? And we're from the long line of head-shrinking tribes. So I recommend you bring her back at the same way you found her. Okay? I thought it was 12 o'clock that you should be back. No? Senior prom. And you begged me.
No, it was 10 or 11.
10 o'clock. 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. That sounds more like me. But anyway, it was always, there's a curfew on you. There's a curfew. So mothers have to be wise because they have to know, you know, when to ground you and when not to ground you. And they have to know when to be your advisor and your coach or when to totally interfere with your plans. Mm-hmm. They've got to know when to pull the plug on it. Now, they're not perfect, and nor do they have all wisdom. They don't have this gift of wisdom from God. So you have to acknowledge the difficulty that they have faced raising you. Amen? And all of you had mothers. So you have to give her the grace to be human. In other words, you have to give her the grace to be imperfect. She's never going to make a 100% correct decision. Not going to happen. You have to allow her to fail in some areas without you getting hot on the collar and without you getting all, like, you know, huffy with her because she made a mistake. You get a hold of this. You're going to make many mistakes in your life. Many mistakes in your life. So don't ever demand perfection from her. Now, part of respecting her is, you know, and honoring her, take time to get to know your mom. Sit down and ask her about her life. Ask her to tell you stories when she was young, when she was a child, about her grandma, her grandparents, about her teenage life. Get to find out her likes and dislikes. You know, you should by now know what her love gift is. You know, I mean... if I want Jackie to smile and be happy, all I do is bring her flowers, just unexpectedly bring her flowers. And that's it. That's it. She thinks I'm the best husband in the world. But you've got to find what the love gift is and then, you know, do that. If she's not about gifts, don't be showering her with gifts because she may be looking for time with you. Okay? So you've got to know which one she wants and then be sure to help her with that and give that to her. So find out what her interests are and talk to her about it. You'd be surprised at what that does. Amen? All right. Then the second thing about honoring your mom, build her up. Build her up. You know, it is dishonoring to tear down, to break down, to deface, to belittle, and to devalue. It's very dishonoring to do that to somebody. Dr. Gary Smalley, one of my great people that I love to read on relationships, has a wonderful way of expressing honor and he's teaching on relationships. And he says the best thing that you can do to honor someone is when you look at it and you see this thing is valuable and precious, you just go, wow. Just like look at it and just go, wow. And that's how you let you know, like LeBron James, when he's flying through the air to make a great dunk, and you go, wow, knocks your breath away. You say, that's amazing. Well, husbands, turn to the mother of your children right now, look at her and go, wow. Would you do that? Oh, not enough of you guys. Okay, all right. Well, then I'll talk to the single guys then. Let me talk to the single guys to get your attention. After the service, find a pretty girl that's making your eyes twinkle and go up to her and don't say anything to her except, wow. Just that. That's it. Okay? Okay, let me ask the girls. Will that work? Would that work, girls? Would that work? See, I'm really good on relationships. You may not be a talker. You might say, well, I really can't talk to her. You don't have to talk, Bubba. Just say, wow. You knock my breath away. Wow. And that's it. That's it. That's all you need to do. All right? It shows that there's such an appreciation for that. And yeah, that'll be so good. So remember this. Moms need to know that they're appreciated. Because every now and then, they're going to think this thought. They might say it to themselves, is it really worth it? Especially on bad days. Because, you know, I mean, kids are 24/7. And they're going to say, well, is it really worth it? So they need assurance. And the best way to do it is for them to hear words of affirmation from you that they're not crazy, that really it was worth it. So give them positive feedback in what they're going through. You know the word wow? If you turn it upside down, it's mom. And if you, wow, yeah. And you know if you spell wow backwards, it's still wow. And you know if you spell mom backwards, it's still mom. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it was cool. I thought that was interesting. Okay, back to my notes. So, assist her with some chores that she has to do. Assist her with things around the home. Show her appreciation. Simply give her time. Now, there's another thing that you could do once you've grown up and you have your own job, and that is to financially assist your mom. Financially assist your mom. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says, a believer should take care of his own relatives, especially his own family. If he does not do that, he is turned against the faith. As the Old King James Bible says, you become an infidel, and so do the Islamic people. Everybody who's not Islamic is infidel. So the Bible is very strong about children taking care. Well, actually, you know what? When we read this verse, we usually apply it to a man working. And we say the man has to work and bring home money so he can care for his family. And if he doesn't do it, he's turned away from the faith. It's expected from you to do it. But today I want to give you another aspect of that. I want to give you this aspect. As your mom grows older and older, and she is less able to work and to produce, how about the children starting to chip in and to care for her and do small things to her, whether it is send her to the beauty parlor, have her hair done, or let her have her nails done, or get a pedicure, or do something for her financially that she wouldn't be able to do for herself. Now, you know, in our home, we're very blessed because Cindy is our personal assistant. She does all of our shopping for us. She's amazing. And what she does is just, I can't even explain to you. So we are so blessed. And obviously, because we have a situation where Jackie's had the stroke, her help is invaluable to us. It is just absolutely invaluable for her. And if it wasn't for her, I would actually not be able to do ministry if it wasn't for Cindy. Okay, so she is really fulfilling the scripture. On the other hand, Hane, and I didn't say this in the earlier service, but Hane is a handyman. So, you know, not everybody has a child who's a handyman. But he'll come around the house and he'll see something and he'll just start fixing it. And he'll see this, and you get there, and next thing he's changed this and screwed this up and fixed this up. And then, you know, and he's the other day he came in and he said, these blinds, you see, you're having difficulty pulling your blinds up. He said, yeah. He said, you should just get new ones. I'll replace them for you. Next thing he's up there snapping the blind off. I'm like, you just broke our blind. It just broke the blind. I mean, before I couldn't work it, now it's broken. Then I'll go down to Home Depot, I'll get another one, I can put it up. You know, and so you may not give money, but you might be able to help. Isn't that true? Yeah. There's something you could do to make life a little easier for mom and dad. Hallelujah. Dad, I'm throwing me in there as well. All right. But I think we should at least be able to financially return to our moms some of the expenses that they had raising us. And there were a lot of expenses. Amen? All right. The last point I want to talk about is gratitude, showing her gratitude. You dishonor something when you take it for granted. And a lot of times children do that. They will take mom for granted and just expect that she will do something and that they're entitled to it because, after all, you had me. I didn't choose to be born. You had me. Now take care of me. And I like what that preacher says. What's that funny preacher's name? Who?
John Chris.
Jesse, my age group. Jesse says this, I made you, I can take you out and make another one. So I like that. So to honor means to cultivate a deep sense of gratitude and appreciation. Simply say thanks. It's not hard to do. Say thank you. Just teach them to say thank you. There's a story told about a 10-year-old boy who got fed up with all the chores. He was so frustrated. He decided he was going to write a bill to his parents. So he sat down and he said, okay, this is what it costs for me to do the mowing of the lawn. This is what it costs to rake up the leaves. This is what it costs for me to take my stuff to the laundry, to make my own room up, to clean in the kitchen. And he wrote down all these things, and dirty dishes, and he wrote this. And then he took it to his mom and gave her a bill. So the mom looked at the bill, and she decided to sit down and write her own. So she started right there, and she wrote there, to go through labor and give birth to you, no charge. For rocking you to sleep and feeding you and staying awake with you throughout those long nights, no charge. For changing your diapers 1,000 times, no charge. For bathing you and kissing your owies and putting on the band-aids, no charge. For praying for you for countless hours and dreaming for you and hoping that you would be success, asking God to protect you, no charge. The point of the story is actually that every child owes a debt to their mom that they cannot pay. It's insurmountable. And if parenting is done correctly, and it works, then the child would grow up and make a lifelong act of continued gratitude, especially to their mom, for the loving heart and for the generous mother and for always saying, no charge. So let's remember the big things and the small things and continually be grateful and honor our moms today. Amen. Amen? Amen.